This is Jerome Aginla, and you're listening to Get the Puck Out.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man, how you doing? You good? I know you like that.
Hey guys, it's Chris here. Wanted to let you know that today's episode is powered by mybookie.ag. You go on over to mybookie.ag and put in the promo code TARPS off season. That's S-Z-N or S-Z-N if you're in Canada, but it's not about the Z's. It's all about the cheese. We will give you a 100% deposit bonus on every dollar you deposit up to $1,000. You put in 20, you'll get 40. You put in 40, you'll get 80. You put in $69, you'll get $138. You don't just have to bet hockey. You can bet the NFL, MLB, NBA, presidential election, hot dog eating contests, you name it. You can bet it. And we're going to give you a 100% deposit bonus at mybookie.ag when you hit tarps off season. S-Z-N. That's tarps off season. S-Z-N. Now let's get to the episode. All right, guys, welcome to today's episode of Get the Puck Out. I'm your host, Chris Mancuso, and I am back with Jack Gotzel of TarpsOffHockey.net and BlackAndGoldHockey.com. What's going on, Jack?
Not much. It's it's draft day eve. I'm very excited. I think that the top three picks in this draft could play right away in the NHL. I'm not certain all three do, but the fact that it's a possibility makes this draft extra special.
Yeah, man. I mean, you look at the top end, obviously Lafreniere, he's going to go first overall. That's pretty obvious, considering what he did and all the hype that's surrounded by him. And then you look at guys like Stutzel and Quinton Byfield, who is certainly going to make some history, on the night, because he will become the highest picked African-American player in NHL history. The previous record is fourth overall. That's held by Evander Kane and Seth Jones. They were both taken fourth overall. Whether Byfield goes to the Kings at two or goes to
the
Ottawa Senators at three, he's not getting past the Senators there. There's no way. I'm really excited for this draft tomorrow. And speaking of the draft, Jack, we have a shit ton of rumors and speculation. You know, this flat cap has stuff going crazy all over the place. One of the big stories is Oliver Ekman-Larsson. The Arizona Coyotes are looking to move their captain in the first year of a seven-year deal that pays him $8.25 million. You know, the crazy thing with OEL, he went from being like one of the most underrated defensemen to now apparently the people in Arizona saying he hasn't had such great seasons. I don't get to watch a lot of Coyotes hockey, so statistically he looks like a nice piece. They asked him to submit teams. He has a full no trade. They said, where would you go? He said Boston or Vancouver. According to Elliot Friedman, the Bruins have already put their "we're not going further" offer out on the table for them. They continue to talk to the Vancouver Canucks. Jack, I want to ask, how the hell does Vancouver even make that happen?
If Vancouver's going to make it happen, they're going to have to give up multiple pieces of bad salary cap, which then they're going to have to entice the Coyotes with a lot of prospects and a lot of young pieces, because they do have Quinn Hughes to resign. They do have Elias Pettersson. So they're going to have to clear out more money than it looks on the surface, because OEL is signed for 8 years and Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson come up just next year. So they would have to move off like
Louis Erickson.
Yeah, they would have to move big money off of the board.
Yeah, they Tyler Myers.
Over $10 million. $10 million. Well, Tyler Myers, he signed for three more years. I think the Coyotes probably wouldn't take that. I think they would take Edler, who is 1 year, $6 million. And then they would still have to probably move two more big contracts out of their forwards that are undesirable. And I don't see how Vancouver doesn't have a first round pick this year, I believe. And they would, so they would have to give up maybe like Vertanen, Gaudette.
Yeah, it would be a steep, steep asking price.
And yeah.
But per reports, you know, they like the prospects a lot better in Boston than they do the ones that would be coming back from Vancouver. But the Boston Bruins are not as motivated. Like, they'll make the deal at their price, but they're not really like motivated to add him. And they've went back to Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and all things considered, it doesn't sound like the player is willing to expand that no trade list. The Edmonton Oilers, Calgary Flames, both would have liked to have had a shot at Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He doesn't even want to entertain going there. It seems like it's Boston, Vancouver, or honor the contract you signed. And I get that. You put a full no move in, you sign the kid, and you end up telling him that in the first year of his deal, the first year that you signed, you're going to trade him. I would be taking full advantage of that too. No?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't blame the player at all. I would say no. I'm naming my fucking city. Yeah, if you're going to come at me like that, it's completely disrespectful. They have such poor management in Arizona. I know they just changed their GM, but it's ridiculous out there. And OEL, I can't believe they're even shopping him. I guess maybe it's COVID, like financial problems.
Yeah, it has to be.
But it also looks like they're trying to clear out their goalies as well. Like, what is going on over there?
It sounds like Darcy Kemper could be on the move. I will say the Minnesota Wild are in the market for a starting goalie because they traded Devan Dubnyk today, and as well as Ryan Donato. They were actually in two separate trades. They sent Dubnyk in a 7th-round pick to Minnesota for a 5th-round pick, correct?
Yes, and they retained 50% of Dubnyk's salary.
And they retained 50% of the salary, so it comes in at just over $2 million for the San Jose Sharks. And then in a separate deal, the San Jose Sharks gave up a 3rd-round pick and acquired forward Ryan Donato, who you and I know from the Boston Bruins was the centerpiece of a trade just last, during the season before last year, coming up to the trade deadline, in a trade that brought Charlie Coyle to the Boston Bruins. Ryan Donato had a hard time kind of finding his way through the lineup last year. But you know what? If there's any place I can see that kid maybe working out a little bit, it could be San Jose. So that might be a nice fit for him.
Yeah, he'll get those second line minutes in San Jose that he didn't get in Minnesota or Boston.
Yeah, I think that it's all about kind of opportunity for that kid. And I mean, he's kind of sitting in purgatory. What, he's 24 years old or something like that. Like,
yeah, he's young.
If it's going to happen for him, though, it's got to happen in these next couple of years. That was a pretty crazy trade. Other transactions that went down, the Pittsburgh Penguins have bought out the contract. Well, they put him on waivers for purpose of buyout of Jack Johnson. We were talking when they traded for Mike Matheson. We were going, what the heck are they doing having both of those guys on that defense at a combined $8 million? That's crazy. They end up buying out Jack Johnson. We'll see what happens, man. But the Arizona Coyotes and Darcy Kemper, I could see a fit with the Minnesota Wild there. And I wonder if they do move Oliver Ekman-Larsson, if a guy like Matt Dumba ends up getting shipped out that way in a trade for Darcy Kemper, because Darcy Kemper's an attractive piece. For me, anyway. I mean, isn't he an RFA at the end of this last year?
I believe Kemper is an RFA at the end of this year.
I think so anyway. But either way, he's a good young goalie, attractive piece. There's been a ton of goalie talk. Apparently there was a deal pretty close to agreed to the point where the Pittsburgh Penguins actually let Matt Murray hold contract extension talks with the Chicago Blackhawks. But they were unwilling to get anything done. Not surprised. If I'm Matt Murray, I'm trying to go to a better team.
Pray for Connor McDavid. Just got an update from Elliot Friedman. Connor McDavid has tested positive for COVID-19.
Come on.
I just got it from Elliot Friedman.
Well, that's horrible, man, because I'll tell you one thing. Connor McDavid's my favorite fucking player in the
McJesus
world. I love him. Oh, my God. Underwent a medical testing, revealed a positive test for COVID-19. Since that time, he's been placed in voluntary self-quarantine at home. He'll continue to be monitored and will follow all associated health protocols. He is feeling well and experiencing mild symptoms. Oh, my goodness. Connor McDavid, hopefully he's okay, man. We got to break in and talk about this. This is the best player in the world. This virus, man, whether it's – I know you had it, and we can maybe talk about that a little bit. And I don't want to downplay it because it hits everybody differently, right? Like, obviously,
yeah,
pre-existing conditions and you're older or whatever. But, Connor McDavid being an athlete, I like to think that if 6'4", 264-pound or whatever he is, Donald Trump, 74 years old, can walk in and out of the hospital with, because these guys got good money, right? They're not just getting taken care of as if you and me went to the fucking hospital. They're going to be round the clock monitor. I think he'll be okay, but damn, you know, first Austin Matthews had it in Toronto, and that was a big deal that it came out. But for the Edmonton Oilers to put the statement out, it's funny in contrast to where Steve Simmons in Toronto broke the COVID-19 news of Austin Matthews, and they were really mad. Remember Austin Matthews said at the beginning when he asked him a question, he's like, I can't believe I even have to take an answer for you. He was so mad, and they come out with a team statement. Pretty wild. Pretty wild stuff.
Yeah. I think Connor McDavid will be just fine. He's a world-class athlete. He's in the best health you can be in. I'm not too worried. I mean, you hate to see it, though. Like, it sucks. I mean, I had it. It's horrible for me, it was a short time. I know it does hit everybody differently.
Yeah. What was it like? What was it, like a day or two or what?
Yeah, it was about a day or two, but I did have I got an eye infection from it, and I get eye infections a lot. I had one the other day, actually, early in the week. Yeah. But usually they last me like 2 to 3 days, and that one lasted, I guess, I think about like over a week.
Did you get a fever?
I had a fever for I think 3 days, 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, but all in all, it was pretty mild, or what?
It was pretty mild, and I mean, luckily my family was selling the house, and they had already moved up, so they just threw me in the abandoned house for 2 weeks, so I was able to quarantine away from my parents, so I was away from the family, but it was terrible for a couple days.
Yeah, it's funny. Not often mid podcast do you get like news like this breaking, and you know, I'm on the horn right now with McLovin and the other guys at tarpsoffhockey.net being like, get this fucking blog post out. Jack and I are podcasting right now. Like, somebody's got to pick this up here. This is the biggest news in the hockey world right now, and hopefully he's okay. Nick Germano's got it.
Yeah, Germano's stepping up.
I will say,
as Mark likes to call him
the passenger. Well, listen, Germano was a fucking passenger when he first came.
He's been working hard lately.
Dude, I was just getting there. He was fucking, like, you know, we had Germano. I won't say that I fired him because he knew that there was going to be the opportunity to come back, but I needed him to step aside and see, like, everybody's working their ass off. Since he's come back, kid's fucking front of the line all the time. Like, he gets mad when someone else gets, if he wants something and somebody else grabs the story, like, he's butthurt about it. I like that. I like seeing that.
Yeah.
So shout out to Germano for grabbing this story. Man, that threw a whole wrench into our fucking our fucking podcast here. Connor McDavid gets COVID mid fucking episode. I mean, I guess we got a title for the podcast. We're gonna call it Welcome to Episode Connor McDavid Got COVID Mid Fucking Episode. So there's a great title here for the episode. Now, looking at the Edmonton Oilers, this is a good segue. I guess I'll use it just because that's the inner host in me. They have a lot of work to do between the pipes, especially now if Connor McDavid ain't going to be able to skate 40 kilometers an hour all the time, because apparently this thing fucks with your lungs after too, they say. There's not a lot known about it, obviously, being a new virus. COVID-19, it's got a million names. It's fucking annoying. It's fucking up everybody's life. But between the pipes, they have to make a change. Maybe Matt Murray could be a fit there. If you couldn't work out something in Chicago, surely Edmonton should be trying to knock at that door, no?
I mean, I would think so.
I mean, Braden Holtby just had a really bad year last year. I wonder what his contract's going to look like. I mean, the guy had like an .890 save percentage, like 3.13 goals against average or something like that, man. Edmonton might be able to scoop him on the cheap if it's a
home. Yeah, I think it will be a cheap deal, and maybe it's a one-year prove-it deal. Kind of like what I assume Bobby Ryan is going to sign.
Exactly. Man. I mean, coming off a pretty bad year, going to a team like Edmonton who can get to the playoffs with Koskinen and net, like, come on.
But imagine being able to go back to your home city.
It would be.
And the best player in the world is there.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. You got Draisaitl. You got Ryan.
And you have the heart winner. Yeah. Draisaitl.
You got Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You got, like, you know, Klefbom looks like he's going to be out for a while, and that's unfortunate. Darnell Nurse. There's pieces there. Uncle Peter just left them in a bad way, Peter Chiarelli.
Yeah. But there are pieces there. I mean, it looks like Nugent-Hopkins is willing to take a team-friendly deal to stay. I've heard he's a loyal player. I've heard he's a good guy in the locker room. I can see Nugent Hopkins taking, leaving some money on the table and staying there. And from all reports, it seems like that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a very enticing place for Holtby to go. And their defense is not bad. They actually are pretty solid there.
Yeah. No, I know. It's crazy. And another story I want to get to that I thought was crazy. And I saw this floated out there a lot today. Henrik Lundqvist came out, says he loves competing, plans on still competing, wants to be in the NHL. Holtby's leaving. Do you see a fit for Henrik Lundqvist behind the young Ilya Samsonov and becoming the king of the friggin' capital? Like, you know what I mean? He's right in that's a perfect city for the king, isn't it, DC?
That's my number one place I see Lundqvist going. I don't know if he'll be the king of the capital. I think Ilya Samsonov will be the king of the capital. But I do see Lundqvist being a – why would you not bring him into that situation? You have a young goalie learning the ropes. He's going to take over his first season as the true starter. Who could be a better backup than Henrik Lundqvist to be in that kid's ear and help him along?
Like Gorgiev and the other kid said, like he was just the best mentor for those guys too. Like he never cared that they were pressing him. He always knew that these guys were gonna be able to replace him, and he still always made sure he was a great moral support for them. He was a great veteran leader. He liked mentoring the goalies in New York, and he loves that role. So what better fit, I think, than
it would be Washington. Stupid not to bring him into Washington. If you're Washington, you're idiots, because Lundqvist is gonna want to go into a situation where he can win now.
Absolutely.
Washington is what, 2 years removed from a Stanley Cup ring? Yeah. They have basically the same team in place. Ilya Samsonov can go in there, and he can be as good as Holtby was in that Stanley Cup season. Yeah. I really think that kid's got a lot of promise. They have a very similar team. They have some younger guys in that lineup that are now in their prime. I think they can go right back at it again. I think this year in the bubble, I think they were there to party. I don't think they were there to play.
Oh, Hotel X was a fucking shit show.
Next year, I think they'll be there to play, and I think that would be a great spot. And if you want to make sure they're there to play, add a voice in that locker room like Henrik Lundqvist, because he won't put up with that bullshit.
Hell no. It's funny, because I was watching the Spit and Chicklets thing today, and it brought me back to doing the podcast with the Blue Line Hockey Club that we have here at tarpsoffhockey.net, and we were podcasting with Matt Dumba. And on the Spit and Chicklets podcast, they talked about Killorn talked about how Hotel X, because they didn't really have a meaningful game until almost 2 weeks in there, was like a gong show resort for some guys. And it was funny because Dumba said like it was kind of hurting out in Edmonton, in the sense that, like, you know, all the guys in the league, right? So everybody was telling them like what a great time they were having there. Apparently in Hotel X, they were doing like Ovechkin and Pat Maroon were laughing about like who weighed more. They were having like
fat. Yeah, they had a way off.
Yeah, they did a fat guy contest. Apparently Charlie McAvoy and Tory Krug got like hammered drunk with like Brad Marchand and Sidney Crosby. And Sidney Crosby was like officiating a push-up contest. Apparently it was just a fucking shit show inside Hotel X, which is funny when you see some of the performances from some of these teams. It's like, yeah, I get it. It makes fucking sense.
Yeah.
Now, we're going in here, too. I wanted to talk about – there was a couple other pieces of news. Oh, Matt Niskanen, shout out to Matt Niskanen, decided to tell the Flyers that he's going to call it a career Stanley Cup champion with those Capitals that you brought up. And a really great defenseman. But you look at the Philadelphia Flyers, if he retires, he comes off the books. That's a big cap number. What is it?
Elliot Friedman did report that he is officially off of the books and he did retire, and his agent said it was COVID related with the league uncertainty next year. He just decided.
Yeah, man, that makes complete sense, man. It does.
And I believe his contract is $5.25 million. That could be off by a little bit, but it's not going to be off by a lot. If it is off, it's around there.
Yeah, man, exactly. And you know what? A couple goalies got some reassurance from their clubs today. Boston general manager Don Sweeney said that Tuukka Rask remains a big part of their future. And the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Kyle Dubas, said Anderson will remain the Leafs starter. kind of calling bullshit on both guys there. I think either guy would entertain making a change if they were enticed. I think that this is the kind of the season where you're throwing, you're going to see some smoke screens come out. And I don't know, like Tuukka Rask entering the last year of his deal. That's interesting to see. I think the Colorado Avalanche would be stupid not to look into a guy like that if he were to become available. But the Wild are the big team in the goalie market. For me, a couple guys re-signed today as well. Jason Spezza signed a one-year deal to stay with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Braun got a two-year deal after Niskanen retired because he's a huge part of their penalty kill. He might be 33, but you know what? I think they got a pretty team-friendly deal there, all things considered, for the minutes that guy gives you. He's an elite penalty killer. Like he's one of the best penalty-killing defensemen in the NHL, in my opinion. And I think that GM Fletcher would tell you the same thing, and that's definitely a big reason why they brought him back. And I think they got a pretty good deal.
I think with Philadelphia, I've talked to some people, and the big thing is going to be, what do they do with Nolan Patrick? He's a restricted free agent. If they re-sign him or if they decide to move him, it's going to really dictate where Philadelphia goes from here. Because they are going to need to add another right shot defenseman, but I think they've got to be looking at Patrick Laine as a guy that would fit into that team incredibly well. And they've got to be looking at hometown kid Bobby Ryan. And if they're not, they're stupid.
Yeah, you know who else they're looking at that I got told today is hometown kid Tony DeAngelo, right shot defenseman, the New York Rangers. That's a great fit there to bring
DeAngelo. That would be a perfect fit. And then you can do what I said. If you bring in Tony DeAngelo, you can bring in Laine. You can bring in Ryan. Those could be three great guys that the Philadelphia Flyers could add.
Yeah, man, exactly. Right. Yeah, no, they certainly can. And they have some pieces that they want to move. There's rumblings about Shane Gostisbehere. I don't know why. That wouldn't make a ton of sense to me. But, I mean, they have a lot of money invested in their back end. So maybe that has something to do with that. But, I really don't know. I think that's about it as far as transaction news goes. Now, I want to talk about where you see the first five picks of this draft going. We're not going to go through and mock draft everything. If you want to see a great mock draft, go on over to tarpsoffhockey.net and look up Maloney, aka Fantasy Hockey Trades, his mock draft 3.0. I think he gets a pretty bang on mock draft there. But obviously the first pick going to the Rangers is Alexis Lafreniere of the Rimouski Oceanic of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. The kid's elite, one of the best players. He's definitely the most talented player in the draft, and I think that he'll have the most immediate impact out of the top 3-4 guys, because there are some great players in the top, 8-9 players in this draft. There's some great talent. LA Kings pick number 2. Who do you got going there?
I have Quentin Byfield of the Sudbury Wolves, center, going to the Kings. I know that they are loaded at center and they may look to take the wing. However, I think if you're drafting number 2 overall, you have to take the best available player, and that is Quentin Byfield. It's not by much. I could see Stutzel going there too. But I think at the end of the day, Byfield edges him out, and they take Quentin Byfield, number 2 overall.
Yeah, you know what? I have Quentin Byfield going here as well. While I think that they could go with the option of Stutzel because they can play the left side, Byfield is one of those big body forwards. The kid's been getting compared to Evgeny Malkin since he was a kid. 6'4", 215 pounds, uses his body, plays like a friggin' NFL running back, man. Everything is north-south in his game. And he's a 200-foot player. He is very defensively responsible. He played for the Canadian junior team that won a gold medal this year. And he didn't even have a big role because the coach put him on the fourth line. He was out there taking face-offs and stuff like that. And he's a young guy. He won the OHL Rookie of the Year the season before, put up points pretty similar to Connor McDavid in his 16-year-old season. I think Quentin Byfield is a must pick. I think you said it best. You're obviously going to take Lafreniere number 1, but I think when you're picking at number 2, you should take best player available, and that's Quentin Byfield. Ottawa Senators number 3.
I think we'll both agree on this one. I think it has to be Stutzel. Where's he?
Alder Mannheim.
He's a left wing. He's played a little bit of center, mostly left wing. But I think he would be the ideal pick at three. I don't see him going past three.
No, me either. I got him there as well. Although I will say the kid that I have going number four to the Detroit Red Wings is pretty close, and that's Lucas Raymond.
I have him here in two places. I have him at number four in the draft, and I also have him as a steal of the draft. I watched him play for the Sweden team in the World Junior Championships. He played seven games, had two goals, two assists, and 4 points. He's played in the SHL, a very competitive league, probably maybe even the third best league in the world behind the NHL and the KHL, at least most competitive. I think Lucas Raymond is not that far away from being in the NHL. I think he'd be a great pick at number four. Yep. I think you can't go wrong with him. I have him as a gem. And I think if they let him go past four, he'll make them regret it.
Yeah, and then here, this pick for me, number five, depends on if the Kings take Byfield or not, because obviously if they don't, Ottawa will get him at three. But the way that I have it going, I have Marco Rossi of the Ottawa 67s fall into the Senators at number five, and he's a fantastic prospect as well.
I looks like we're the same here. I also have Rossi at five. He was a center for the Ottawa 67s. Great player. I think he is a little bit further than the previous four guys we mentioned as far as like coming into the NHL. I do think he will be a 2 to 3 year guy. I don't think it's just going to take 1 year and then you'll see him in the NHL. However, he's the best bang for your buck. He's the best available player in the first round.
Yeah, for bang for your buck pick there at fifth overall. I mean, the kid's from Austria too, which is very, very strange. He's an exceptional he has a great sense of like where he is on the ice. He's capable of playing in the most sensitive parts of the ice. You know, he's super reliable in his own defensive zone. And if he finds a weakness in the defense, the kid's going to exploit it. I'm a big fan of Marco Rossi, and I think that's a great pick there. A couple guys that we wanted to just give like some honorable mentions to would be what's the goalie's name again? I always forget.
Askarov. Yeah. He had a .974 save percentage in his first three games in the KHL this season.
Yeah, he's played for St. Petersburg, which is like the best team too, always.
Yeah, he is nasty. And what is he, 17, 18?
Yeah, I could see him going to like the maybe the Nashville Predators would be. No, I don't know with what's his name. Maybe the Hurricanes at 13. Oh no, sorry, that pick belongs to the Leafs have 15 now. Yeah, maybe the Hurricanes at 13. That could be a solid spot. Because I think the Sabres at 8 won't take a goalie. I think they'll go.
I really think when all said and done, somebody trades up and takes Askarov.
I could see a team that's out of like even the first round that can just see, you know, a really stud goalie prospect jumping in and going after it.
I don't think he gets drafted by a team that's naturally in a position. I do think somebody trades up and takes Askarov. He's the best goalie in the entire draft. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with him.
And I think one of my better value picks too, I don't want to get into the whole first round, that'll take forever, but Jamie Drysdale, I can see him falling to like 6 or 7, either the Ducks or the Devils. I think he's a great player, played for the Erie Otters. I saw him play a little bit last year. I think he's an interesting name to watch. I think that we're going to see a lot of movement between tonight and tomorrow's draft. And if you guys want up to the minute coverage, go to tarpsoffhockey.net. That's tarpsoffhockey.motherfucking.net. We are going to be here for the draft tomorrow. You go on over to sportscaster.com, sportscaster.com/tarpsoff. We're going to be live for tomorrow night's draft. We're going to be blogging. We're going to be streaming. We're probably going to have a couple drinks. Let's be real. And it's going to be a great time. Jack, let the people know where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack Gotzel. JACKGOTSELL. I am on tarpsoffhockey.net. I'm on blackandgoldhockey.com. And I've got a lot more notes here. So stay tuned for that draft show tomorrow, because we got a hell of a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we have tons to talk about tomorrow. And I didn't want to kind of spoil it, because I imagine we'll be getting on there about a half an hour before, maybe an hour before the draft starts, depending on how many moves have started, and we'll really start to break this thing down. Make sure you guys check that out tomorrow. I am Chris Mancuso. I am currently in Twitter jail. Jack Dorsey and everybody at The Athletic, go fuck yourself. Take care, buddy.